Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, February 3rd. Coming up, the Public Defender's Office in Champaign County is struggling with funding and staffing challenges. We'll get the latest and learn how some Illinois lawmakers want the state to step in and help. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. President Donald Trump has targeted transgender and non-binary people with a series of executive orders. Esme Anta reports that prompted more than 100 people to march in downtown Champaign for trans rights on Saturday.
Devlin McKee is a disabled Army veteran and a trans woman from Decatur. She drove about an hour to speak at Saturday's protest.
All of us are being targeted by a lawless regime seeking to scapegoat us as the problems facing this nation. But we know that is not true. We're here together from multiple backgrounds to say no. No, you can't divide us. No, we will not watch in silence as human beings are rounded up like cattle. Fascism will not win here.
McKee says they need to continue their fight against the nation's apathy. President Trump's executive orders include banning trans people from the military. He's called for the stopping the use of federal money to support gender-affirming medical care for youth, and for blocking schools from using federal funds to support students who are socially transitioning. Illinois prohibits discrimination based on gender identity and expression. May Antar, IPM News.
Illinois Republicans who protested last month's inauguration in Springfield are being punished by their own party leadership. Alex Degman reports.
Five lawmakers, mostly members of the far-right Freedom Caucus, held their own swearing-in ceremony and, in doing so, did not vote to retain State Representative Tony McCombie as minority leader. Now, those lawmakers have been stripped of access to communication staff, research staff, bill analysis, and other privileges. State Representative Blaine Wilhauer says McCombie didn't give them a reason.
It's borderline tyrannical. You know, our people are up in arms about the things J.B. Pritzker is doing, you know, to circumvent us, and then we got our own leader that's doing the same things.
Wilhauer still has district staff, but they're not set up to get calls from the Springfield office. McCombie's spokesperson did not return a message looking for comment. I'm Alex Dagman.
Illinois public health leaders are re-strategizing after President Trump ordered the U.S. to leave the World Health Organization last week. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Withdrawing from the WHO could make it harder to monitor early outbreaks globally and detect new diseases coming in. So the Illinois Department of Public Health is looking into getting other technology used to track illnesses. Dr. Samir Vora says they have serious concerns, but the agency remains resolute.
It is part of our continued growing effort to ensure that we're trying to get those tools that Illinois can hold to help give us the latest information and protect our residents.
Vora says the agency will convene a group of global health experts in the coming weeks. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The Fighting Illini basketball players won both of their matchups yesterday. The number 18 overall men's team defeated Ohio State at State Farm Center 87-79, and the women's team won on the road against number 14 overall Maryland 66-65. IPM's Colin Hyslop has more.
Men's forward Will Riley led Illinois in scoring 24 points, and guard Genesis Bryant led the women with 20 points. The women pulled out a victory with a single point over Maryland. After the game, Illinois head men's basketball coach Brad Underwood said the women's victory was impressive.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate our women. Wow, great win at Maryland, and hard place to do that. So congratulations to Sean and her group.
The men's team plays on the road against Rutgers next, on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., while the women's team hosts Northwestern at State Farm Center on Thursday at 6 p.m. I'm Colin Hyslop, IPM News.
Still to come, the Public Defender's Office in Champaign County is struggling with funding and staffing challenges. We'll get the latest and learn how some Illinois lawmakers want the state to step in and help. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 65 degrees and a southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 30 degrees, a north wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and colder with a high of 40 degrees, a northeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a low of 28 degrees, a northeast wind 10 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, a chance of freezing rain in the morning, changing over to rain with a chance of thunderstorms late in the day and a high of 42 degrees, with an east wind 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, it's been 2 weeks since Donald Trump was sworn into his second term as president. What do you think of the job he's been doing? Leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Then join us next time on The 21st Show.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The Champaign County Public Defender's Office is bracing for challenges due to funding constraints that could lead to staff cuts and affect the quality of legal representation provided to citizens who aren't able to afford a private attorney. This after voters rejected a sales tax last fall that could have increased funding for the office. Chief Public Defender Elizabeth Pollock says her office is sinking under its current workload and budget.
We're going to just continue to drown. And I'm going to continue to lose people, people who are going to leave the office because of better paying opportunities.
To learn more, I'm joined by IPM student reporter Nathan Gonzalez. Thanks for being here, Nathan.
Thanks for having me.
Nathan, could you tell me a bit more about the Public Defender's Office in Champaign County?
Sure. So according to the Sixth Amendment, all people accused of a crime have a right to an attorney. This right was reaffirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court, and what that means is that every person is legally entitled to a public attorney if they can't afford one. This is why we have public defenders provided by the county. Currently, Champaign County has 17, but I've learned in my reporting that that's not nearly enough for the caseload they manage. Regardless, Pollock told me the office will weather through, but the question is, for how long?
You know, my hope is that we don't dip below the baseline level of representation that is required by law. But if we did, that would open the county up to liability.
Nathan, you mentioned Champaign County has 17 public defenders. How many do they need to function optimally?
So according to a study done by the RAND Corporation and analysis by Northwestern University, the county should have at least 27 lawyers, 6 social workers, and 6 investigators. So they're short about 10 attorneys. And Pollock says that 2 of those attorneys, plus 2 social workers and a paralegal, are grant-funded. They can apply for more funding, but there's no guarantee. She also told me they're not able to pay enough money to compete with other jobs like the City of Champaign and the University of Illinois. So both recruitment and retention are challenges.
At the top, I mentioned the referendum on the ballot last fall that would have increased funding for public safety initiatives, which includes the Public Defender's Office. That failed to pass. Nathan, does the county have other plans for helping fund the office?
The short answer is no. According to the county's administration director, Michelle Jett, there are, quote, no other options for providing additional funding to the Public Defender's Office. She says the county's revenue is not keeping up with expenses, and criminal justice expenses have grown substantially in the last few years. So they were really counting on the public safety sales tax to come through. Without that revenue, she said the county is going to make some cuts to its personal budget in the next fiscal year. But at the state level, there are some efforts being made to help with the underfunded public defenders' offices.
What can you tell us about those efforts and why do they matter?
It matters because when public defenders' offices are understaffed, the attorneys just can't offer the kind of quality representation that they would like to provide. And it turns out that Illinois has the highest rate of false convictions in the country, according to the National Registry of Exonerations. It's why State Representative Dave Vella introduced the FAIR Act last year, and it would amend the state constitution and create a statewide public defender's office. Vella, who's a Democrat representing the 68th District in Northern Illinois, told me the FAIR Act would give county public defenders money and support to help them retain new public defenders and lessen their, quote, unreasonably large caseloads. Vella said 47 states already have statewide oversight of public defense systems, and this allows for better access to resources and a reduction in false convictions.
Nathan, what will you be paying attention to going forward?
Well, the FAIR Act is still being finalized, but Representative Vella said he expects a vote by April or May. If the bill passes, the implementation would take about 2 years.
Nathan Gonzalez is a reporter with the Illinois Student Newsroom at IPM. Nathan, thank you for your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
From IPM News, I'm Kimberly Schofield. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mai Antar, Alex Degman, Mawa Iqbal, Colin Highslope, and Nathan Gonzalez. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.